She was born Frances Jane Van Alstyne, but you probably know her by her more common name, Fanny J. Crosby. She is probably the most well-known hymn writer in all of American history, having written over 8,000 gospel hymns in her lifetime. She actually wrote so many hymns, and since her hymns were so popular, she ended up having to adopt more than 200 pseudonyms throughout her career because publishers were very hesitant to publish so many songs by the same author, especially an author that was a woman at that day and time. And so Fanny started using lots of nicknames. She used aliases like Frank Gould, James Black, and my favorite, Bertha Mason. If you ever see a song written by Bertha Mason, that's a Fanny song. You'd really be hard-pressed to find a hymnal, at least in our day and time, that does not have at least one hymn authored by Fanny J. Crosby. In fact, our hymnal has at least 15 of her songs. I counted 15, and I just stopped counting after that because there's probably even more than that. And so it's no wonder that she's been commonly referred to as the queen of gospel song writers. Maybe what makes Fanny J. Crosby so memorable to many people is the fact that she achieved all of that despite a very severe trial that she had to endure in her life. Fanny J. Crosby was blind. When Fanny was only 6 weeks old, she developed a very terrible inflammation in her eyes. And because her parents did not treat it properly, the nerves in her eyes began to be damaged and ended up causing her ultimately to go blind. And so for the next 94 years of her life, Fanny J. Crosby lived without the ability to see. Maybe that's why it's a little ironic to me that in 1876, Fanny wrote a hymn entitled, "Will Jesus Find Us Watching?" Watching? How in the world's a blind woman going to be watching for the return of anything? Well, look at this song with me, if you will, number 508. If you would, open up your songbook. I want to look at the lyrics to this song. And instead of us this evening, instead of dissecting every line or every word of this song, I'd like for us to just kind of read the lyrics all together in aggregate, because I really do think this song is trying to just make one point. And maybe that's the power in a lot of songs, where they're just trying to drive at one idea. This song has one big idea. Verse 1, "When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching, with our lamps all trimmed and bright. If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, and when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching. In his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there?" And then the chorus, "Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?" I said this song really just has one main point, and I think that one main point is all about readiness, preparedness. It is a song that encourages us to get ready and to stay ready for the penultimate event of all time, the return of the King, Jesus the Christ. This song is thoroughly biblical. There's all kinds of imagery and ideas here that are taken from the teachings of Jesus. Specifically, there's some lines in here and some ideas that are taken from Jesus' teaching in Luke, the 12th chapter. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus is talking to his disciples about the importance of being ready. And he does that by telling them a little parable. This is probably not a parable that is super familiar to us. You don't hear a lot of sermons about this particular parable. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says this beginning in verse 35. "Let your waist be girded and your lights be burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door immediately for him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master will find watching when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself, and he will have them sit down to dine, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or comes in the third watch and finds them so, blessed are those servants. Therefore, be ready. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Jesus paints here a picture of some servants who are watching over the entranceway to their master's estate. And their job really is simple. If someone was to come knocking at the door or knocking at the gate, they were to verify who that person was and then to either grant or to deny their entrance. And really the most important time of day for the servant to keep watch would have been at the nighttime. Especially on this occasion, as Jesus is describing. Because on this occasion, they are awaiting the return of a very special person, the master of the house. He's gone away to a wedding banquet, and so are we watching? Are we waiting for the master's arrival? And you should understand that in that day and time especially, for a servant to fall asleep on the job and to not be ready for when the master came, that would have been considered a serious offense. In fact, if the master's knock was not immediately recognized and not immediately responded to, he would know that that servant had fell asleep on the job and the servant would be punished accordingly. If on the other hand, as Jesus points out in the little story, if the servant was awake, if the servant was alert, if the servant was ready, then regardless of what time of day it might have happened, then that servant would be blessed, abundantly blessed. The master would invite him, the servant, to come inside, to recline at his table, and actually to be served by the master himself. That's pretty special. So it is, Jesus says, for all those who are prepared and who are ready for his return. We can read in Matthew the 25th chapter, the parable of the 10 virgins, and other teachings of Jesus, other parables of Jesus, that conveys that very idea that those who have their spiritual lamps trimmed and bright, those who are anticipating the Lord's return at any time, they will be blessed by the Master, and they'll be invited to come in and to share in his glory forever and ever. It's all about being ready, isn't it? In fact, that is very much one of the keynotes of all of the New Testament. And in this particular passage, there are two words, there are two verbs, two action words that really stick out to me because they're also found in the words of this song. In fact, they're repeated again and again by Fanny Crosby in this song. It's the words watching and waiting. Watching and waiting. Those words describe just how ready we are. Are we watching? Are we waiting? This afternoon, several of the ladies here, if not most of the ladies here at Hillview, had the opportunity, I know, to get together at the Chapman residence for a dinner, whether you were being served or whether you were the server. I'm told that that was just a great afternoon for all the ladies to have the opportunity to be together for a couple of hours. What that means, though, is that means that all the rest of us men, we had to fend for ourselves this afternoon for lunch. And in particular, what that meant for this particular husband and father is that I got baby duty. In fact, not only did I get Gertie duty, I got Denver duty as well. I had Gertie and Denver this afternoon. Hattie was my very helpful assistant throughout the afternoon, and we had a good time. Things went well. We had lunch. We watched some Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. We played with some toys. We goo-gooed and gaga'd back and forth and tried to speak their language and had a good time for a couple of hours. However, after about a couple of hours, I could tell that two little youngins were really starting to miss their mama. And so they got up out of the TV room, and they went and walked all the way around to the other side of the house to where the front door was. And there I spotted them and snapped this picture where they were, watching and waiting. They appreciated, I'm sure, Gertie getting to be with Daddo for a little while by myself. And Denver enjoyed being with Cousin Josh for a little while, and that was all well and good. But you know what? A moment came where, man, they just really were anticipating Mama's returns. And you know what? I didn't take offense to that. I didn't get upset about that. I didn't take that personally. Because the truth is, I can actually sympathize with those little ankle biters. I understand about that kind of anticipation, that desire, that longing as you await the arrival of a special someone, because I too am watching and waiting in eager anticipation of a very special someone. I have that same sense of longing and desire to see my master. I'm watching and I am waiting for the return of King Jesus. He is my King. He is my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my friend. He is my older brother. He's all of those wonderful descriptions. And while there are people in our world today, just as there were people in the New Testament, Peter talks about people like this in 2 Peter chapter 3, who scoff at that idea. What are you Christians doing waiting for the return of Jesus? He's gone. He's dead. Even if he did raise from the dead, he's certainly not coming back. What are you wasting your time for? Are you watching to the skies, singing songs about his return, maybe even praying for his return? I realize that there are lots of people who feel that way about the return of Jesus. But you know what? I am assured by the very words of Jesus himself. When in John 14, verse 3, he spoke to his apostles, and in the midst of that conversation that he had with them, he said, I will come again. And I am settled and I am confident in the promises of Jesus that he will come again. And when he does, as Hebrews the 9th chapter says in verse 28, he is coming to save those who are eagerly awaiting his arrival. The question this evening is are you ready for that day? That's what the passage is about. That's what the song is about. Are you eagerly anticipating the moment when we all see Jesus coming in the clouds? Are you watching? Are you waiting? In just a moment, we're going to sing this song. And this song is repeatedly just going to ask that question. Watching, waiting, are you doing that? Are you going to be ready for that moment? That moment could happen this evening. It could happen before we even finish singing the song. That moment could come at a later time, but the fact of the matter is we just don't know. Which is why it is incumbent upon us to be ready at all times for the return of our Lord. If we can help somebody this evening to be ready for that great moment, if we can help you this evening in your obedience to the gospel by being united with Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, it would be just a privilege of ours to assist you in having your sins washed away by the blood of Christ and your response to His grace and His mercy. If you are a Christian, but somewhere along the way your level of readiness kind of has begun to falter, can we help you this night get more ready, serve the Lord in a better way? If we can pray with you, if we can encourage you, if we can do anything to help folks be ready, then this is the opportunity to take advantage of. Do that right now by coming to the front while we stand and while we sing.
When Jesus comes to reward, he survives.